Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show, CJAD 800.
9:05 Saturday morning, Walter Assi joins me now, president of Renovco, to answer every single one of your questions about your home improvement projects. 514-790-800 is where you can reach us by phone. Let us know what your issues are in terms of your renovations. And 514-800 is the text line if you have your questions for Walter there. Before we get into all of this, Walter, last week, your wife and I were in cahoots because you were being swept away after the show, taken to a farm for your birthday because apparently you had plans to buy some farm animals. Did the purchases occur?
So it was not a farm.
Walter. I mean,
although the place was called Twin Farms.
Yes.
And they do have animals. It's really a chateau type of a getaway.
It was a fancy farm. Chateau is very...
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I was nervous when I got there because I'm thinking in my head, this. She told me the room is in a treehouse and whatever. So I'm like, oh my God, is there any bathroom there? And she goes, probably not. I'm like,
well, you could have built one with your skills.
I didn't have the tools. but yeah, as a matter of fact, I really recommend people try it. It's a really nice place in Vermont.
Okay.
Bertel, Vermont. It's really nice.
So you had a good time. You had a good birthday. You did not buy the goat that your wife said that you were.
We did not buy the goat.
This time. Maybe
some e-bikes. We did some canoeing and stuff like that, but no goats involved in this.
No goats.
In this episode.
In this episode of Walter's Travels. Okay, let's get to a text message here. This one's pretty... I'm going to try to get it right because it's quite technical. So it says, hi, please let me know if I'm choosing the correct insulated flexible pipe for my bathroom fan. The product description is a 2-ply polyester laminated inner core and a fiberglass reinforced metallized vapor barrier, a typical big box store item UL181, apparently standard for class 1 air connector. I'm guessing you know how to answer this question because I don't.
Yeah, I mean, that's your typical insulated fan pipe. What's important is, we're getting the right duct, but also the right size as well for your fan. They come in different sizes depending on the fan that you get. And when you're installing it, just ensure you don't install it with the banana effect, because not that because you have the right product you're going to have the right outcome. So make sure that you have a slope towards wherever you're installing it for, if it's outside.
Okay, thank you for that. We have a phone call now. We have Lee from Brossard, and Lee has a question about getting rid of cigarette smoke. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning.
All right,
yeah,
take it away.
The house is, you walk in and you smell smoke everywhere. I'm just trying to figure out how to get rid of it.
Okay, now let me ask you, do you have carpeting in the house? Or
yes.
It's, okay.
Yes, there's carpeting in the house.
Okay, and I'm guessing there was a smoker there, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right, and is there still a smoker there? Or it's
no.
Something you just bought and trying to...
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So a couple of things. Number one is the walls and the ceilings.
Yep.
That would have to be cleaned by a degreaser.
A degreaser.
Yeah. So if you go to a place called Hazmasters, they have special cleaning products specifically for that. That's number one. If you see any yellowing on the walls, because sometimes you have that smoke odor, but you don't have the yellowing. So I don't know if you're planning to paint at all.
Yes, we are.
Very good. So in this case, you're going to apply BIN or shellac.
You're going to apply what?
BIN or shellac. It's a primer blocker.
Okay.
So what that does is it blocks the pores of the drywall. So any smell that is emitting from the drywall itself gets blocked by that primer.
Okay.
So that will be your first coat, okay?
Okay.
Walls and ceilings.
Okay.
And that will help tremendously in the process.
Okay.
And then you could do any paint job you want after that. Now, if you want to add another layer of if you want, another step to really ensure that even the ambient air is treated for that smell.
Yep.
What you're going to do is you're going to install, and you could rent these as well if you want, a negative air machine with charcoal filter. So that's an air purifier in commercial duty or heavy duty, if you wish.
Okay.
And what that does is it sucks the air and it purifies, it sucks all the articles, the particles in the air, and it purifies from the smell. So usually we use it when the house have a small fire or there's an odor of fire in the home. That's when we use it often. So you could move it room by room and keep it there for a few hours, you know, in each
And where
room.
Do you get those?
You can rent them at Simplex. Simplex should have them.
Okay.
But make sure, because they don't come with a charcoal filter, so ask them to install a charcoal filter. They come with a HEPA filter that is not charcoal. So
right.
The way you're going to know it is that the color is black or dark gray.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that would be it. And then hopefully when in your renovation plan, you're planning to get rid of the carpet, right?
Oh, yeah. It's the first thing we're getting rid of.
Okay. That's beautiful. So that by itself is going to make a huge difference because the carpet, you usually keep the smell in. So get rid of the carpet. Do these, apply the shellac or the bin, whatever product you prefer or your painter prefers. And do not fall for, if the smell is strong, some painters are going to kind of, I don't know if you're painting yourself or you're hiring a company?
We would like to try it ourselves.
Okay. So, I mean, look, at a worst case, if you, because some painters might push back if you're hiring a company on the shellac or the bin, because it's not a cheap product and tends to be a bit thicker to apply. So
okay.
Some painters don't necessarily like it. Push back and make sure that this is what you're doing, or else it's not going to work.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Thank
make
you
sure
so much.
You wash the walls and the ceilings before you actually apply the bin.
So I would degrease the wall first?
Walls and ceilings, you will degrease them.
Yeah, and then
if the ceilings are, just as a small correction, I apologize. If the ceilings are flat paint, you can't wash it. So what you're gonna do is you can even buy it from there or if from Hazmasters or any paint store. They should carry it. It's called a chemical sponge. So
chemical sponge.
Yeah, that's specifically made to clean ceilings. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Flat with flat paint. Again, if you don't have flat paint on your ceiling, you don't have an issue. So that's
right.
What you need to get. You get chemical sponges for the ceilings.
Okay.
And degreasers for the walls.
And where do you get the chemical sponge?
So the chemical sponge, you can also get it at Hazmasters or any paint store, like Benjamin Moore, for example, should carry it as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, you shouldn't have a problem there.
Can I ask you, where's Hazmasters located?
Hazmasters, they have different branches.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is, I think, on Monte de Lies, so next to the Durval Saint Laurent area.
Oh, perfect.
Okay.
I know that area.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All
Good.
Right, Lee. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Hope that helps.
Thank you.
It is 9:14. Before we get to our next calls and our text lines, I want to remind you, you can always reach Walter at 514-790-0800, 514-800 on the text line. Remember to include your name when you ask your question so we know who we are talking to, just shy of 9:15 right now.
You might just need to tighten the thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Chatting up a storm here with Walter Assey, president of Renovco. 514-790-0800. Is where you call us for your home improvement questions, your needs, your quandaries, if you will. 514-800 is, of course, our text line. Lots of texts coming in. But let's get to Fred from Laval, who's been patiently waiting on the phone. Fred has a question about his cabinet door and some apparent water damage. Good morning, Fred.
Hey, good morning. Love your show.
Thank you.
This was not too much of a silly question, but my kids hang on the cabinet doors, and the issue that I have is my cabinet is a cabinet door is attached to a melamine strip, and the whole strip came off as well as the door. And I'm trying to fix it. I'm just wondering, can I drill it? Should I glue it? That was one issue. And then similarly, we had a little bit of a water spill, and where the cabinets, which is also seems to be a melamine base, it's curling. And I just don't know how to fix it. And if anyone really without a high price would come in and want to fix it. Anyway, that's my two issues, if you can help.
Okay. So, Fred, my first question would be, what type of kitchen doors do you have? Are they wood, polyester, thermoplastic, melamine, acrylic?
They seem to be an Italian acrylic on the outside, and then there's melamine on the inside.
Okay. So the curling is happening on the edges, or it's happening...
On the four edges.
On the
floor. Like a bubbling almost, like a strip of a bubble.
Okay. So that, the strip itself can be fixed if you dismantle the door. I mean, from what I understand, there's a door came off, right? Because... Your kids hang down on it or something?
Yes, that's okay. Yeah.
So, I mean, if you take it to any cabinet shop, they can actually replace the strip for you. That's actually a good place to have damage, because if it would have been on the acrylic itself, it's a bit more complicated. So that's one. The other issue would be with the melamine box. Now, for you to do not glue it back, because it's going to come back off again. What you want to do is you want to just see how much melamine you have that came off with it, because technically the screws are coming back exactly where these holes were. And now, you know, to put back the screws back in the hinge and to screw that melamine box, you're going to have issues because the screws are not going to hold. So you need to reinforce that part. Before you actually screw it back in. Even if you screw it back in and you feel that it actually went back in, it's probably going to be unscrewed soon after, okay? So there's many ways to do this. It depends how much of it has been damaged. If you feel that there's serious damage, the panel itself can be replaced. You just take out the box, replace the actual melamine panel on that side, and then screw back into it again. Or you can reinforce just this one area and then screw it back in with the screws.
And Walter, who would you contact to kind of do that? Because I seem to be trying to find something, and everyone is asking what the cost is, and it's hard to estimate. It could be something fairly simple, or of course it could be a little bit more. And I think for something that may be less than a grand to kind of sort of repair, nobody really would be interested.
That is
so
correct.
So it's a little bit of a dilemma.
That's correct. I mean, to be quite frank, the best person that you would call would be a cabinet maker.
Right.
That would be the best person. But you're right, for a small job like this, they're really not interested, especially if you're calling now. Maybe if you would have called in winter, you would have been a bit luckier, but now it's like going to be an impossibility. The second step down would be a carpenter, a Finnish carpenter, okay, not a rough carpenter, would be the second step down. They could address your door issue as far as the repair and screwing back the door. The edging is a bit more, if you wish, sensitive, because they would have to have an edger machine. So what I would do if I were you is I would go to a cabinet maker shop with the door, give it to them to fix it, and give it back to you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, so it's the door, but also it's the actual, it's on the floor of the whole cabinet, the cabinetry where there's the island. So also on the bottom where so it's not only the door, but it's also the actual base of the cabinet as well. Like it's almost around the whole edge of the island, because where the water kind of soaked up through the melamine and then it bubbled. So that's the other issue that I had. So it's going to be, actually it won't be possible to kind of take that off to bring it in. I would have to have someone come in and say what they would have to repair, I'm assuming.
So yes and no. Yes and no. If what you're referring to is the coup de pied, the kick toe, the toe kick, okay?
Yeah.
The toe kick, you can actually take it out. It's not a problem. You can even go take out the actual piece and give it to him, and he will cut you exactly the same size and you just slide it back in. that's not an issue. If it's a panel that got damaged.
Yeah, it's a panel.
Okay,
yeah.
Then that's another story. You're right. In this case, the same carpenter that you're going to get to fix the door can take out the panel for you. And again, what you could do is you could give exact measurements or go with the panel and say, I want you to cut me this panel, and they will give it to you. That would be probably the cheapest and the most and the fastest way to get the job done. If not, you can call them in. They will probably have to charge you a premium for that. But, you know, and again, it's not a big job, so it's not going to be a big motivator for them. But you have 2-3 items that could help calling a carpenter to come and help you.
Does that help you, Fred?
It does indeed. Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Have a good Saturday. We got to get to news. But first, I think there's a question we can fit in here about the price of something here, Walter. Hello, my name is Brian. We got this on the text line. Just want some information. What's the general price for a high efficiency forced electric furnace with a 2.5-ton heat pump?
That's a good question. Now, the issue that you would have is the quality that you're going to choose. You can go from anywhere from Zephyr to Trane to York, and the list goes on and on and on. So depending on the manufacturer, they all advertise themselves as high efficiency, and like the heat pumps are minus 30 and whatever. That's a new thing. But you're paying for also the brand itself. So anywhere between... I would say it starts anywhere between 8 and goes all the way up to 15,000.
15,000, 8 to 15.
Yeah.
Nice chunk of change there. Okay, yeah. If you want to reach Walter, 514-790-0800, 514-800 for your text questions. We've got a lot of text questions coming in. Some of them are quite meaty. So remember that there is a phone option there because I'm looking at a couple large paragraphs. We will get to all of them. 514-790-800 is where you can actually call to speak to Walter. It is just shy of 9:30, 9:28 to be precise, which means it's time for your CTV News update.
You're listening to The Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
514-800 is the text line. 514-790-0800 is how you can reach out and talk to Walter Assey for your renovation needs and your questions. Walter, we've got a question here from Chris. It says, my ex built a DIY shower in our basement bathroom. Cement board was put up against the framing and then the tiles were applied. No vapor barrier or waterproofing on the framing or on top of the cement boards because he said the cement board needs to breathe. There's an electrical in the framing behind the cement board and a plug in the opposite room. My ex is out of the picture now and I remain afraid to use the shower. I'm contemplating having it torn out. I feel like, Walter, this is the relationships, exes and showers. Take me through this. Should she get rid of the shower like she got rid of the ex?
Well, I think the question is, did he get rid of the ex because she made a mistake building the shower?
I don't know. That's for another day.
Follow up. That's why I like phone calls, because I can ask
you could have asked that question. There you go.
I can answer him much better. So cement board by itself, when it comes to showers specifically, alone it does not work. Okay. You have, there's many different ways that you have to think about waterproofing a shower. If you have a cement base and you have a ceramic base, let's call it, or porcelain, and then you have a porcelain wall coming to it as far as the junction between the base itself and the wall, that's a weak spot, and that will create multiple water damages in no time. So the best way usually to do it is to have, in my opinion, a Schluter base and Schluter panels, and then you apply the ceramic on it. If not, you can have you can apply a liquid membrane or any type of membrane before you put your ceramic. So the cement board itself will work for a while, but eventually you'll have issues, especially at the junction between the base and the wall itself, because again, it have to be a continuous undisturbed junction. And caulking is not the answer. Cocking is a last line of defense.
Okay. Listen, it was a problematic exit, looks like, in a problematic shower, Walter. Thank you. Thank you.
But I mean, he can use it. I'm not so worried that the electricity on the other side is going to be as much an issue. But the fact that he can see if it's not finished from the other side,
yeah,
it helps to see if there's any water damage.
All right. John from Pierrefonds is on the line with a question. I guess I see here baseboard, an electric baseboard question, and an air conditioning suggestion. John, take it away.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Hey, Walter. I got the, 1980s house, all baseboard electric, no duct work at all. And I'm getting old and tired of putting window air conditioners in. Mm-hmm. So I'm wondering, what's my option? Is a split system the only thing, or is it like completely prohibitive to put in a proper electric furnace with ducting? I guess that would be too disruptive to the house, right?
It is disruptive in the sense that if your basement is finished, the ceiling part is going to be a big problem, in the sense you have to rip out all the ceilings. Well, where you're putting the ducts, that is, for right. the return in the ducts. So that's going to be the first prohibitive part. The second one would be where your ducts are going to come out, and that means you have to cut through the floors to create the vents. Do you have a bungalow now or a cottage?
Cottage.
Okay. So a cottage is a bit more intrusive as far as installing the ducts. So wherever you're going to have the conduits, you're going to have to make openings in order to... So there is a domino effect. There is a secondary expense there. What you could do as another option, I mean, it's all going to boil down to what's your plan with the house. If you're planning to live there for a long time, then it might make sense. If you're not,
right,
then you know, you might want to think twice. It's not just the installation itself. It's the fact that you have to close holes and then plaster and paint and so on and so forth. So if you have it in your near future to paint the home, that's another story. If not, it might be a bit of a big undertaking. Having said that, you can always install a split system.
Yeah.
So that can have up to 5 different splits.
Oh.
Okay. And that's new. Newer. I wouldn't so call it new. It's been a few years. In the old days, you would have one split per room, and it was a problem.
Yeah, you see them hanging off houses everywhere, yeah.
That's right. Now you can have one that gives you 5 heads or 5 splits. Which makes it a lot more convenient that way. And you don't necessarily need to install them in every room, right? So you know, it's the rooms you use the most. In the first floor, you might want to install one or two, and then your bedrooms. In the bedrooms itself, you don't need any in the basement, obviously. And
no.
That will work. What I would also recommend you to do is you buy the one with the heat pump option.
Right.
Okay. Because that will work up to minus 30, and it's a much healthier heating than your electric baseboard. Electric baseboard is probably the worst because you're literally burning the air particles, and it makes your house extremely dry in the winter.
Yeah, very dry.
Okay,
yeah.
Whereas the forced air is going to be a more comfortable way. And the good news is that you get to use it most of the winter without needing to use your electric baseboards.
Okay, so multi head split with the heat pump option is something that's, I guess, it would go in one area externally. The experts route the pipes however they route them with a little cap and
that's correct.
Good. I was not aware of that option.
Yeah,
thank you.
And the other thing that you want to also think about. I mean, we're saying 5 heads, but John, in some cases, you honestly don't need all 5.
It's just the back of the house gets hit with the sun and it heats. The front of the house is quite comfortable, to be honest. So a couple of back rooms, and I think we're all set.
What you do is you can buy the one with 2 heads or 3 heads. 5 is, you don't have to go all the way to 5.
Right. No, and it goes up to 5, yeah.
That's right. And if you place it strategically, in certain cases we've seen cottages only with 2 and it works wonderfully. So
yeah, top of a stairwell, it kind of falls down and doesn't go over floor and stuff like that.
Yeah, always remember, cold air goes down, so
that's right.
That will help.
Right. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. That is John from Pierrefonds. I think, Walter, we have time for a quick question here from our text line, 514-800, before we get to traffic. It says, I'm a new homeowner and I have a question on what I need to know on how to operate and test a sub pump in the basement. Do I need to perform regular maintenance?
So the first thing you need to know, if you have one pump in your pit, you're doing something wrong. Okay? You need to have a pump and a backup pump. Now, preferably that backup pump is battery powered. Okay? If it's not battery powered, that means your pump is useless if you miss electricity. So what you need to first and foremost ensure that you have some type of a backup pump. Water, there's water gravity pumps as well. They don't pump as much. So if you are in a high water table area, the water gravity one will help decrease the amount of overflow water, but it will not be enough in case you have a torrential rainfall and you miss power. Okay. That's number one. Number two, you need to clean your pit regularly. So you want to pump the water out and you want to have it cleaned up on a regular basis. So all the debris that gets pumped, that gets driven into your pump, gets cleaned up regularly so it does not jam the pump itself. These are the couple of things I would do. Depending on how active your pump is, you also should have a schedule on how often you should replace it. The most common mistake is we usually replace the pumps when they fail, but when they fail, that means we have a flood. So usually you will see, and the quick answer to that would be, that's why I also like the backup pump, because if you feel that the backup pump have an alarm on it and the smart ones have a warning to your phone, so if it kicks in, it's telling you there's a problem with your pump if there's still power in the house.
All right. I hope that helps you out. So always have the backup pump.
The backup pump.
Yeah. All right. It is 9:45.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
Having a grand old time here with Walter Assey. If you have questions for him, 514-800 is the text line. 514-800 right now, because I'm looking at all these texts coming in, and we got to get to one that just came in that I thought was really interesting about the red duct tape. Listen to this. It says, good morning, help. How does one remove the sticky residue left behind when removing the constructive red duct tape on aluminum and or vinyl siding? I've tried Gooby Gone, but no luck. This is Nancy from Magog. I didn't even know something it was called Gooby Gone, but it's not working.
No, it's very popular. It would not work just like that, especially on red tape. I mean, construction red tape, if you see your contractor using it, that means your contractor does not like you.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
Because it's there to stay. It's really, really hard to get rid of. It's extremely strong. So the proper way to use it is, if you're using it on the inside, what we usually do is we install the blue tape or the green tape, which is a painter's tape that is easy to remove, and then you tape the red tape on top of that.
Ah.
So when you take it out, you're actually taking out the green tape by getting the strengths of the red tape for your plastic covers or your zipper walls and what have you.
So is this there forever now?
No. Okay. The good news is it's not there forever. It's a bit of a process. So the best way and the easiest way is to do it first, to apply heat to it by a heat gun. If you have a heat gun, you just go and what you do is you want to kind of get the glues melting, if you wish. So you put the glue gun. A mix of vinegar and water will help afterwards. Or you could use a rag, especially a rag that have a bit of texture with it, on it, like a clothes rag, not just those smooth ones.
Mm-hmm.
And you put WD-40 and you start scrubbing.
WD-40.
Correct.
So after the vinegar water solution.
The water vinegar sometimes would work, depending on how much residue is left. So you could, if you don't want to invest in buying WD-40, you could try that first. If that doesn't work, you could transition to the WD-40. And that will help break the glue residue. You might have to do it a couple of times, but usually it works. And that contractor does not like her.
That is the lesson, Nancy and Magog, that contractor apparently was not your friend. Okay, let's get to this question. Hi, is it safe to insert stainless steel weep hole covers into your weep holes? We want to prevent mice or insects from entering the house. We saw some on Amazon that are 2.75 inches in stainless steel, which we're considering purchasing. Okay. They didn't leave a name, but
yeah.
Yes.
So that's a great question. The stainless steel works. There's no issues there whatsoever. I personally like the rubber one, the rubber ones, because the size of the weeping holes vary. So there will be some cutting involved and adjusting. And, you know, it's easier to work with rubber than to work with stainless steel. You will find that once you start installing that, you know, there was no precision whatsoever in the weeping hole. You can have one that's 2 inches, one that's 3 inches. So you just want to kind of have a user-friendly and more flexible type weeping hole. So the rubber is where I would go with personally.
Okay, lots more questions coming in here on the text line. Hi, I love your show. In case of power outages, my retired dad has a bungalow bought a Champion Fuel generator at Costco because he fears the power outages. Is this too strong for his needs? Would something less strong be better for the essentials? Our winter climate causing lots of freezing rain. He doesn't want to be stuck for days and need to relocate. He just wants to know what's best for his dad, who has a bungalow in Rosemère.
So it doesn't hurt the size in the sense that even if it's big for what he needs, it's just going to use what it's going to use as as a generator. My issue with generators is what fuel they're using and how they're being powered. My issue with that is when they're gas powered, well, we miss gas when you have outages, and if you're not home, there's nobody to turn it on. So that's why I always like the automatic generators that are natural gas or propane powered, because, you know, the propane itself will last you a few days. You don't need to line up at gas stations and so on and so forth. But as far as if the generator is too big, there's no harm in it being big. You may be overpaying. And it depends what you're going to hook it to. If you're putting the fridge, the stove, the furnace on it and what have you, it's not that big actually. But again, if it's just for temporary use and few plugs and what have you, then yeah, it is too big, but it doesn't hurt.
Okay, another question here. For insulated flexible pipe for bathroom fan, is it okay to install the pipe level rather than on a downward slope? Will it work just as well? That comes to you from George in Longueuil.
So, I mean, the idea is the power of your fan and the length of the span, right? I always like to have the slope to help the process, but if you absolutely have no choice, you have no choice. Just make sure that the trajet is not too long and the power of the fan is adequate. With an adequately powered fan, you shouldn't have any issues because you're pushing condensation out. But, you know, if you have a 30 feet long trajet and then, you know, you have a contractor's fan that have almost no CFM, then you're going to have issues for sure.
Walter, there's a question now about, do you know, this one's very specific. Do you know of a good, reliable plumber in the Ville Saint-Laurent area? Thank you. That is from Tony. That's the million-dollar question because everyone's looking for a great plumber.
Yeah. So for plumbing, before I do a referral, I like to know what type of plumbing work, because different plumbers have different specialties sometimes. And if I would refer you one that is not properly equipped for the job, then I won't be doing you any great favors. And they have different certifications. So if for example, the guy is working with gas, then not every plumber have that certification. So we need to know a bit more before we actually set him up with
Tony,
a reputable plumber.
You almost had it. You didn't give us the whole story.
And by the way, I mean, talking about good plumbers, electricians, and ventilation guys and what have you, we're always looking. And I'm open to hear from these guys that consider themselves proud and they do good work, and I can definitely refer before we actually...
I was going to say, you have a message for the special moms in your life, Walter.
Happy Mother's Day to you, to Cassandra, who's a great mom and great in everything she does for us. And happy Mother's Day for my mom as well, who's been an amazing mother. So happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there.
Oh, Walter, you're bringing life to my cold, dead heart. All right, we'll talk again next Saturday. It is time almost for your CTV News Update.